Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina to Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about how to sabotage your family. Now, you came up with that title. Why don't you tell us what that means?
We don't want you to sabotage your family, but seriously,
right?
There are some things that we will do and maybe do, you may be doing it right now, that actually sabotages your family and you don't even realize it. So we want to give you a simple list. There are probably more you could add to this list, but we just want to go over a few of these to help you understand. We want you to be able to strengthen your families. And I was thinking about this as a husband and as a father, I needed a man in my life who would mentor me to help me know how to strengthen my family. I didn't have that early on. So I did some of these things early on, I believe, and did not realize I was either doing them or maybe some damage I was doing. So we simply want to help you guys strengthen your family today.
Right. And whether you're single, married, divorced, whatever, we all have a family unit. We all have family. And so even if perhaps your family is not the ideal or where you want it to be, these are things that you can use to help strengthen those. Okay, you want to jump right in?
Well, I want to share the statement.
Yes.
It's at the top of the page that we have here. Our perspective, of course. The foundation of a family is so important. Without a solid, real faith in God and a trust with one another, the foundation of a family will be created on things which will not support you when you face difficulties. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and we just want to give you a list and talk about a few of these as well.
Right. Again, these are things that if you do want to sabotage your family, do these things. So let's just jump into the first one. Using sarcasm toward one another to get your point across. That will sabotage your family.
One thing I learned moving to a new culture, American sarcasm did not work in Austria in the relationships that I would use some sarcasm thinking, this is so funny, and people would look at me like, why would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
If you have to explain that you're being sarcastic,
it
doesn't work.
If you go see the movie Inside Out 2, they talk about sarcasm in that movie, and it's wonderful. I won't give you the spoiler, but it gives you a new perspective about sarcasm. So,
for it or against it?
No, against it.
Okay.
But if you use sarcasm toward one another to get your point across, you probably will sabotage your
family. Is it okay to use sarcasm occasionally in a family?
I don't know. Let's go on to number two.
Wow. You just cut me off. Or you could sabotage your marriage if you get cut off in a podcast episode. Okay.
Number two, ridicule and make fun of one another, especially in front of other family members. Do that, you're probably going to sabotage your family.
And you may not even realize it. It can happen, and that person's got their look on their face, and they're going, wow. And they either will say something to you when you get home, or they'll just hang on to it, and it could just eat away at you.
And I've been guilty of saying things that I didn't think was ridicule, or I didn't think I was poking fun at somebody, but it made them feel that way. I'm like, well, that was funny, because I think I'm a funny person.
I've done the same thing with you before.
Yeah. Well, I've done it to our, especially our youngest daughter. If she feels that way or somebody feels that way at the end of whatever you just did, then don't do it again and apologize, make it right.
And some people, I don't mean this in a negative way, some people are more sensitive than others.
Yeah.
You can say the same thing to two different people,
right,
and they take it differently.
Right.
So pay attention to that.
Yeah. So number four, seeing your way as the best way, that could probably sabotage your family. Do we need to say anything more about that? It's my way or the highway, or my way is the best way.
Have you ever thought something, seeing your way is the best way. Have you ever thought that your way was the best way?
All the time.
Really?
Yes,
all the time?
Pretty much.
Okay, is it always that way? Is it always the best way?
Absolutely.
But is your way sometimes the best way?
Yes.
If you have raised children on any level, any length, you know, as a parent, your way is the best way sometimes because the child does not have the perspective or the experience.
Right.
When you deal with other adults, though, our way is not always the best way.
Right.
Sometimes
there's preferred ways, like you're very good about giving instruction about your preferred ways of doing things, whether it's watering the grass or scrubbing a pan or wiping the counter. Now, do that. It's your way of how you do it. It's your preferred way of doing it. Doesn't mean it's the best way.
If I were you, I would consider doing it this way. Okay.
We just let people do it their way. Same goal is getting accomplished. Just because it may not be getting done your way doesn't mean it's a bad way. It's just a different way.
And assessing, you know, really, is this the best way to do it? Well, it fits me, but maybe it doesn't fit you, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
But the point is, to this topic, we don't want to sabotage our families.
Yeah.
So could I go in my closet and get away if I think, nah, I'm so right in this situation, but you disagree? Is it worth the relationship? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. Let's look at number five. Not honoring another on special days as birthdays, graduations, accomplishments, or allowing Thanksgiving and Christmas to be mere cultural holidays instead of time to acknowledge and honor our family relationships. You wrote that. What do you mean by that?
There are very, very few times in people's lives, unless you are a well-known person where you get celebrated a lot,
mm-hmm.
Unless you're in a position of entitlement in some ways, most people don't get acknowledged very often in life.
Mm.
And so I go, what if we really take the time to honor someone on their birthday?
Yeah.
You go, well, it's just a birthday. In fact, she's 90 years old. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
She probably does.
Yeah.
So what if we choose to not sabotage a relationship by going, I want to honor this person.
Yeah.
Or my sister's graduating. She's retiring soon.
Yeah.
Some people would say, okay, everybody retires. What if I could stop and take a weekend away with mm-hmm. her, like you, with you,
mm-hmm.
and just acknowledge and enjoy that time with her?
Yeah.
That's showing value to that person.
Right.
So when someone doesn't get acknowledged over time, it does something to the heart.
Yeah.
Which can sabotage a family.
Let's look at number six. Ignoring the importance of sharing a meal and having meaningful conversations can sabotage your family. Now, I do want to say, one of these done one time potentially will not sabotage your family. But over time, if these become norms, chances are they're going to do some damage.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Dad, we only ate sandwiches. We didn't talk about anything of depth last night.
Right.
Oh, no, we're doomed.
Yeah.
That's not the norm of our family.
Right. So the importance of sharing a meal and having meaningful conversations, if those are ignored long term, they could sabotage your family relationships.
And that has been a strong foundation builder for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Our girls are all grown now, but we've done that over the years. And we love doing that with people that come over for a meal.
Pro tip, always make the table. I have two leaves in my table. I often leave those unexpanded.
Unexpanded?
I often have the table be smaller, so we have to sit close to one another.
Okay.
It just adds to the whole vibe of being close.
I've noticed you've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at number seven. Showing favoritism could sabotage your family. We've seen that from a distance where one person or a group of people are shown favor. Boy, that is not... When you're not in that category, boy, is that... Not a good
does
feeling.
It feel good to be favored, Christina?
Yes.
It does.
I love to be the favorite.
But if you're not the favorite, it feels cruddy.
Especially in families that has been the case for decades. That really does damage.
I am very thankful how God has enabled us all these years to see each of our girls so differently.
Mm.
They look different, although they have similarities. Their personalities are different. They approach life differently. But I think we've been able to appreciate each of our girls.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we should need to ask them that.
Yeah.
Have you felt acknowledged and known by how you are, not lumped in with your other two sisters?
Yeah.
In fact, our youngest asked us recently, who's your favorite? I said, I'm not going there. I said,
you
okay.
Are.
I said, Libby, you are our favorite youngest daughter.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to number eight. Giving excuses instead of taking ownership of the pain you cause could sabotage your family. If you've done something wrong, just own it, right? Just apologize, own it. Don't candy coat it. Don't ignore it. Address it and move on.
Don't give an excuse. Here's an example. Christina, I'm sorry that I was so grouchy, so rude to you earlier. I didn't get much sleep last night, and I had a hard work day. Somebody was rude to me, and it's built up, and therefore I was rude to you. What did I just do?
Gave excuses for all the reasons that you regret you.
That wasn't an apology. Right. I did not acknowledge what I really did.
And it doesn't feel good to go, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I just spoke to you so horribly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, it's your responsibility how you react to that. But if you don't want to sabotage your family, if you want to build healthier relationships, when you make a mistake, just make it right. Admit it. Don't make excuses for it. Make it
don't
right.
Think that we have this down. It,
no.
It grates against my flesh, my who I am as a man, to admit I'm wrong sometimes.
And go,
is that, what's the worst that's going to happen? Well, the worst that could happen if I don't, I sabotage my relationship with you or the girls or my son-in-law. But if I acknowledge it, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
I have to acknowledge that I made a mistake.
Right.
I'm not human. I'm not perfect. I am human, but then I get to better the relationship because I can do that.
Good. Well, let's look at number 9, not keeping your word. Don't keep your word ever. You'll sabotage your family.
I'm not being critical. Both of my parents have passed on, have died, but that was a pattern growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not being critical.
Even until I got older.
Well, no, growing up until they died, there was a pattern. I knew I could not, what they would say, it probably was not going to happen.
Mm.
And so what that did at some point in my brain, they would say, I will do this. And my brain went, no, it won't.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize it many years ago when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But what that was doing was sabotaging my relationship with my parents. It built a wall of distrust.
Yeah.
And I don't know why my parents... why they struggled with that, why they did that, but it sabotaged our family.
Yeah.
And I could ask my siblings, I think they would say the same thing.
Well, and I think there's exceptions. Like, I try to be a keeper of my word. If it looks like I can't keep my word, promising, you know, a family member, hey, Tuesday I'll help you do this. When I know I can't, I'll tell them, I'm so sorry. I'm not breaking my word. Something's come up. I can't. Can I do this on this day or whatever? So are there instances when you have to break your word? Yeah, but make it right and do it. Yeah. When that becomes a habit, we're saying that's really going to sabotage your family.
Well, and that ties into the one you just mentioned, giving excuses instead of taking ownership.
Right, yeah.
Say, I need to apologize. I keep my word.
Mm.
But I cannot do it this time.
Yeah.
I can't help you in that. But I need to apologize because I promised I would.
That's good. Okay, let's look at number 10. Allowing your work or your personal goals or your image or status or money or whatever to be priority over the relationships, you're probably going to sabotage your family. I remember, I don't even know who, some pastor, he was saying that anytime his wife called the church, or if he was in a meeting, she took precedence over everybody else. And I just thought, wow, that is really a good priority setter. I know that I have let I'm very task-oriented when I'm on a project, and when family members have wanted my time or whatever, I have, nope, this has got to come first. And is that always the case? No. But boy, to be on the recipient of that consistently, that does damage.
Again, you said earlier, if it's a pattern,
right.
So allowing my work to be a priority over you and I having an in-depth conversation right now,
mm-hmm.
that's called real life.
Yeah.
I'm on the job; I have to work,
sure,
right? Unless I take a break. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about
consistent.
You
patterns.
Guys know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if it, men. I would say we struggle with this more than women probably do. So pay attention to that, because you are sabotaging your families if you're putting others, yourself included, things, hobbies, image, all these things ahead of other people in your family.
So number 11, we've got 12 here. Number 11, refusing to acknowledge God or to acknowledge and honor God as the head of the family and lead by example. Now, that only applies to if you're the head of the family, right? So if you're a mom or a dad and you're the head of the family, you're saying, honor God. What if you're not the head of a family? How do you honor God?
How do you honor God if you're not the head of the family? I think of you, that personal relationship you have, hopefully, mm-hmm. with him. Mm-hmm. You talk to God every day and you seek out wisdom from him.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, to be a good daughter, if I have very dysfunctional parents,
okay.
speak to that person. I'm an adult daughter.
Okay.
How do I honor God, but I've got this crazy dysfunctional family?
I don't know that I have an answer mm-hmm. off the cuff right now for that.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah. Sometimes my relationship with God, because I'm in a situation in certain relationships, they're not open to it.
Yeah.
But I know one-on-one with God, I'm honoring that.
Yeah.
And I'm allowing what he tells me to do through his word, through other people. He gives me wisdom and insight, and I use that. I share that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah. And I think when we maybe are in that situation where we're not the head of our family, we're involved in a family, maybe where others aren't honoring God, if I can engage in the Holy Spirit, what do I do in this situation? How do I respond to this person who is rude to me? How do I love this person from a pure place? Those are things that I'm constantly doing when I'm so not in charge, so to speak, of a family unit. In our family, you and I get to set the tone. But if I'm in extended family or I've seen other friends who are adults relating to dysfunctional families, you can only be in charge of you, right?
Well,
and then you engage the Holy Spirit, ask, what do I do here?
If you don't believe and have a faith in God, we have a faith in Jesus.
Right.
If you don't have that, then this next statement may not make sense to you.
Right.
I believe this, and you do too, as we've talked and lived together all these years. When a family leaves God out of the picture, families struggle anyway.
Yeah.
Individual struggles. Family struggles as a unit. You are setting yourself up for so much more pain and difficulty if you leave God out of the picture and said, we are a family, we don't need God in our lives.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I grew up in some of that. So I know what some of the consequences are of that.
Are families thriving who don't have relationships with God? Yes. But what we have seen, our belief is when God is not the foundation of the family, then things over time will crumble. It won't be the best.
Did you say families who don't acknowledge God are thriving?
Yeah, there are families that are thriving.
Well, I would challenge you on that statement. Are they what areas are they thriving in? Maybe financially and maybe in status and maybe in hobbies. But I tell you, and this is a whole other topic probably, but our souls are connected with God.
Yeah, our souls long for something. And
they do.
If they're not connected to God, then there is a deficit.
So I don't know that you can thrive. Well, you can't spiritually. Can you thrive mentally,
right.
emotionally?
Thrive in other areas.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Last one. If you want to sabotage your family, ignore the struggles, the challenges, and suffering of family members.
Yeah, just refuse to talk about the tough things. That'll sabotage your family. Yeah.
I don't like to wake up. I don't want to wake up ever and go, I get to talk about a tough topic, difficult topic with my wife today, or my daughters, or my son-in-law, or you do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important that we address it, we walk through it, we ask for wisdom, we get outside help if we need it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that very thing can sabotage a family.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Boy, that's a lot, and I think we covered it well. So, again, these are not the top 12 things to do, but we're saying if you do these things consistently over time, they will sabotage your family. So, we hope these are thinking and talking points for you and whatever role you play in your family. So we appreciate you listening. How to sabotage your family? Don't do these things. Thanks for listening.